from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Last week, Santa Monica-based California Assemblyman Richard Bloom introduced legislation which would ban the keeping of orcas, so-called killer whales, in captivity for entertainment. The bill, Assembly Bill 2140, or the Orca Welfare and Safety Act, also proposes to retire all captive orcas to be returned to the ocean or to pens large enough to keep the animals humanely. The bill doesn't specifically name SeaWorld, but the Marine Park's San Diego facility is the only one in California that currently has 10 captive orcas used in performances. Joining us for a debate on the issue and on Assemblyman Bloom's bill here in studio is Dave Phillips. He's executive director of Earth Island Institute. He also directs Earth Island Institute's International Marine Mammal Project. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Billy Hurley, who is past president of the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums, an organization dedicated to the care and conservation of marine mammals in human care as well as in the wild. He's also a former whale and dolphin trainer and is an independent marine mammal and environmental consultant and joins us this morning from Roswell, Georgia. Welcome, Billy Hurley.
Good morning, Michael. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And let's begin, Dave Phillips, by talking about this legislation. But before we do, Earth Island Institute is solidly in favor of it because I think, to sort of put it plainly, you feel that this kind of captivity and entertainment is morally and scientifically unacceptable?
I think that's right. And what we think is this is really an important step in the evolution of public attitudes about orcas and what needs to be done to protect them. You know, it wasn't that long ago, back in 71, when we had a whaling station, the last in the U.S., right here in San Francisco Bay. And that was shut down in 71. Before that, whales were being towed in across Golden Gate. Fin whales, humpback whales, sperm whales, and to this processing station. And can you imagine what the reaction would be if that was happening now? Public attitudes change. And
although there are polls that show that this is divided, it depends who's running the poll, basically. But when I guess South Carolina and Maui now have bans, so you're pretty much assuming that means, along with New York putting forward legislation, that means public attitudes are changing.
Exactly. Public attitudes are changing. Now it's illegal to kill whales. It's illegal to hunt whales, eat whales, import whale products, harass whales. There are even rules about getting too close to whales for people that want to see them. And we're recognizing the rights of whales to live in a peaceful existence. And that goes for orca whales. And there just really is no justification for them being taken into captivity and held for entertainment.
But Billy Hurley, from your perspective, they're living pretty well in this so-called captivity. They're not mistreated. And to a great extent, maybe even enjoying the kind of performances like dogs chasing frisbees.
Well, yes, sir. I certainly appreciate Dave's viewpoint on this matter, but I think the reality is for those of us who've dedicated our lives and careers to taking care of these types of animals, we recognize that the types of relationships that we have with them and the opportunities to learn from them are tremendous. And in fact, this notion that the general public is having this shifting feeling is not really an accurate statement whatsoever. I will agree with David that, in fact, back in the 60s and 70s, killer whales were being shot by people. And it was because of groups like SeaWorld and having these animals for guests to be able to see and be inspired by that people had an alarming feeling to it and said, you know, that's wrong. So I think that what we're doing is we're skipping over the benefits of having these animals and getting right to this sort of false view of these animals being oppressed and depressed, which is just completely unfounded.
You're also of the opinion, are you not, that places like SeaWorld actually not only provide a kind of sanctuary for many of these whales, but do so because protects them from what's out there in terms of toxic or pollution factors in the ocean?
You know, I think that's an important point. It's very easy for some of the extremists to say things like, oh, if we had a sanctuary, if we had a sea pen, it would just be so much different. And the reality is that if you had a sea pen, you'd still need veterinary care. You'd still need qualified people to take care of the animals. You'd still need to be careful about those types of environmental changes that could occur while the animals were in those conditions. And the list goes on and on. And what you end up describing, most importantly, the need to be able to fund such an endeavor, you end up describing a SeaWorld. So if the feeling is, gee, I'd feel better about it if I had fish in their pool or if they had kelp in their pool, well, while that may be somewhat maybe furniture to the animals, if you want to look at it that way, the reality here is those animals get tremendous care, and we learn so much from them, and to believe that we don't is just a mistake.
Well, Dave Phillips, what about the educational factor? You can learn more from them perhaps in a place like SeaWorld, so Billy Hurley and those against this legislation would argue than you could if you just let them stay out in the ocean.
There's lots that can be learned from them in the wild. There's very little that can be learned from them in captivity. There's a lot of myths around what the captive facilities claim about the education. They're claiming that they can create a natural habitat for orca whales. This is just impossible. We're talking about an animal that in the wild swims for 10, 20 miles a day. And here isn't a concrete tank. We're talking about an animal that relies on echolocation for communication. They're very intelligent. They're unbelievably social. They live in family groups that cannot be recreated in captivity. In captivity, what you're seeing is an animal that is stressed, that is separated from its family.
The babies are taken away from the
mothers. Taken away from the mothers. There is no way that they can create a sustainable environment for orca whales in concrete tanks.
Billy Hurley, there is the argument that the social structure, for example, cannot be replicated in captivity.
Well, I certainly don't think that anybody in the the keeping of these animals in human care world would tell you that we think we've built them a natural habitat. I think David's using a bit of a license here to move further with that comment. I think the reality is we know that we provide for them a more than adequate area for them to be cared for. And the notion that SeaWorld rips their babies away from their mothers and moves them around and destroys the social structure is also a big stretch, but it sells well in a propaganda movie. The reality is that's not how they manage their animals, and the reality is that we wouldn't know the many things we know about reproduction and social structures if we didn't have the animals in our care, and importantly, to point out, studying them in the wild. I think where Dave and I would both agree, I think it's important that we spend a lot of money, a lot of time out on the ocean studying these animals from vessels, putting equipment on them, tracking them, finding what their needs are. But what we learn in the wild is how they do what they do. What we do with the animals in our care is we learn the actual ways that they're doing what they do, whether it's physiology, things like hearing, nutrition, thermoregulation, things that they need energetically. These are important parts of going out and putting up legislation for conservation of wild animals.
Well, you're saying scientifically you can learn more up close, but you mentioned public perception. A lot of people saw that movie Blackfish, and it was a movie all about orca whales. And you've taken issue with it, saying, you know, it's kind of an incorrect Hollywood version of what goes on, because former orca whale trainers and marine trainers who were involved in that film, they're pretty much come from the same position professionally that you do.
Well, I certainly feel that mathematically, if you can grab yourself a half a dozen disgruntled former employees, some of which who were actually let go from SeaWorld for breaking the very safety violations that SeaWorld has with their whales, I can see where you could make a movie that would turn people on to the notion that SeaWorld's a bad guy and they treat their whales poorly. But if everybody in America had killer whales in their backyard, they wouldn't think that. Much like if we made a movie about dogs and we had it called Black Dog. If we had a movie called Black Dog, everybody would watch it, and if it was exactly the same way that we saw Blackfish, they'd say, well, I know none of that's true. I have my own dog. And that's where the difference is. It's just so few people get the opportunity to work with these animals. But if you had interviewed the hundreds and hundreds of killer whale trainers that have come from SeaWorld or currently there, they wouldn't agree with those half a dozen people that spoke up in that movie.
Well, let me find out. We'll go back to Dave Phillips and hear more from Billy Hurley in a minute. But I want to hear from you. In fact, I know that many of you have strong sentiments about this one way or another or have questions, and this is an ideal opportunity for you to join the conversation and let us know what's on your mind or on your heart with respect to orca killer whales. You can join us right now. Our toll-free number is available. 866-733-6786 is the number for your calls. Again, feel free to join us at our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. If you'd like to weigh in or if you have a question or comment, you can also weigh in or get your question or comment on the air by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting what is in your mind or heart on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And I say heart, by the way, because I know there are people who have very strong sentiments when it comes to orcas. And you can also, of course, tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. You're going to say, Dave Phillips.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, movies like The Cove and like Blackfish have begun to peel back the curtain and let people know what really is happening. Now, SeaWorld and the captive industry would love to have everybody believe that things are just fine and that riding on the backs of orcas and everything is sparkly and clapping and wonderful performances. But this is a commercial endeavor. This is what they're selling. This is the product they're selling. And it's not the reality of the situation. And
well,
those
they would
trainers,
also, excuse me, is this an article? I just wonder if you dismiss this entirely. I also say this is entertainment, but it's also a legitimate way to generate income, that taking away the entertainment fact here would kill tourism jobs would, kill a lot of jobs, period.
I don't think so, no. Actually, I think that there's a big history for showing that the evolution of these parks and the evolution of zoos and aquariums is in the direction of non-performance. If you look at a place like the Monterey Bay Aquarium just down the road from us, they had to think about – they had to confront the paradigm that said you can't make this successful without having orcas and without having dolphins. And they said that's not correct. And they actually have no performances, no cetaceans, and there are people lined up out the doors. They're making huge amounts of revenue from a non-captive environment.
And they're doing very well.
And if you look at this bill doesn't say they have to, SeaWorld has to shut their doors. It says that they have to retire these animals into sea pens. When there was the Oregon Coast Aquarium where Keiko went, people were lined up out the door to come see Keiko and restoration, rehabilitation in action, not people riding on their backs in front of crowds that are, you know, hearing loud music and popcorn. That's not where the future is. That's the old school approach.
Billy Hurley from the old school, you say what?
Well, I don't know that I'd be cast as the old school. What I'd say is this. The people that visit parks around the country have time in and time out said that they enjoy and very much find inspiring seeing trainers demonstrating their relationship with these animals in these types of performances. Now, that said, because I lived in the Santa Cruz area and worked for the University of California and had a relationship with Monterey Bay Aquarium, I appreciate you bringing that up. I think the reality is this, that the Monterey Bay Aquarium still has demonstrations during the day with their sea otters where they talk over the microphones and the guests crowd around because they want to see the behaviors that the animals are doing in front of the trainers and in front of those guests. And if you look at the animals at SeaWorld and you look at the great care that they're given and you recognize there's inspiration going on, then you'd say to yourself, this way of sort of embellishing things and popcorn and music, et cetera, is a bit of a stretch. I think we're trying to make that a little more sexy than it is for the extremist side of this argument. The reality being that the animals, much like the dog playing with their buddy in the park, the whales feel the same way when they're playing with their trainers, whether there's people in the stadium, whether they aren't. And that is something that can't be glossed over. The reality is there's tremendous relationships through the operant conditioning and positive reinforcement that the trainers at SeaWorld utilize.
All right. Let us bring our callers in, and we'll start, Fredo, with you. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I want to say that the spokesperson for SeaWorld, you know, their judgment is clouded by their mentality that these animals can be happy in a concrete pool where everything that is natural to them is denied to them. You know, this is an absolutely insane mentality coming from corporate mentality. So they basically force these animals to do demeaning acts on command to entertain the masses and the public, and, you know, and they're begging for food. All of this is unnatural. And to claim that they are happy in this type of environment is just ridiculous and insane. And the public is cutting up with this.
Let me get Billy Hurley to respond to you. And, Fredo, thank you for your call. Billy Hurley?
Sure, absolutely. I think one thing that would be really important is to recognize that after 25 years of working with these animals, I've had some really fantastic opportunities. And one of the opportunities was to work with marine mammals out in the open ocean, not only the wild animals, but actually animals that are trained for free release. And it's very interesting that when you spend time with them and you interact with them, they interact the same way, whether they're beside your boat as they are at poolside. They interact the same way when it comes to the relationship. They perform the same behaviors, whether they're for research or whether they're for entertainment or whether they're for education. So I appreciate his emotion, but I'm going to go ahead and guess that he probably doesn't have a lot of experience working with these animals.
Dave Phillips?
That's just a lot of BS, to tell you the truth. You know, the reality is that this is part of the myth that the captive industry keeps portraying that, oh, we're not doing anything with the whales differently than what their normal behaviors are in the wild. And it's just not true. Are you really telling me that the whales in the wild have trainers riding on their backs and are jumping through hoops in some countries, flaming hoops? This is not what's happening at all. It's just part of the myth, the mythology, that somehow what they're doing is just what's happening in the wild. It's not. They're not creating the wild. They're creating a spectacle. They're creating a circus act. And that is what they're doing. And it's very clear and transparent to most people that that's what they're doing.
We'll go to another caller. James, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I'm up in Santa Cruz and I've been surfing for about 20 years. And if you spend any time in the water, you know that the water's alive, the animals are alive. And I've seen the documentary Blackfish, and it really opened my eyes. I mean, I was born and raised in Southern California, so I've been to SeaWorld. I've seen all of that. It is very entertaining, but ultimately what it boils down to, what's happening for entertainment as far as killer whales concerns, is that it's just greatly disrespectful to the animal, to the environment. And the comparison that one of your analysts had made about a dog and a killer whale, you just can't make the comparison. You have a domesticated animal compared to the top apex predator in the ocean. So with that, gentlemen, I think we all are becoming enlightened as to what's happening for our entertainment purposes and what's actually true and right for these great creatures of the ocean. I think they should be left alone. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and thank you for your call. Billy Hurley.
You know, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences rejected this movie as a documentary, so I again find it interesting that everyone says, I'm going to rally behind this propaganda piece that I saw. You know, getting to the realities of what I have been saying and comparing, I'm not comparing a dog to a killer whale from a species perspective. I'm saying relationships with animals are developed in a way that the animals are there in a reinforcement setting with their trainers. Likewise, as Dave probably sort of skipped over there a moment ago for me, what I said was when you train trained animals in the wild, they respond the same. I did not say that wild animals act the same. Wild animals are different, no doubt about it. But we do have a sense of change when you look at these animals being born in our care. And as Dave knows, as Keiko, who swam next to the boats up in Iceland, did not want to leave the boat to go swim with the wild whales until they just absolutely ignored him, the reality was he was still focused on his trainers. Sadly, he ended up dead of pneumonia after being sort of ignored in the wild because that was the plans they put together. Couldn't disagree with that more.
Dave Phillips?
Well, you know, it's not unexpected that you take shots at Keiko, but the reality is that Keiko was close to death in a theme park in Mexico in an insanely small pool and was offered before ever coming into our care to all of your facilities, all your captive facilities around the country who made the decision that they'd rather have him die there than they would even take him into the facility because they didn't want anything to do with the potential of having his skin infection go to their other show animals. So, in fact, Keiko was able to be brought to a facility, brought back to health, and was able to be brought back to his home waters and live the rest of his life in natural seawaters instead of a concrete box. So, and outlived the average age of the whales that are in your captive parks. So I don't think it was a not successful story at all. I think it was a great example of how orcas have the ability to move at least to sea pens and in some cases back to the wild successfully.
Let me remind listeners, Dave Phillips is executive director of Earth Island Institute and directs Earth Island Institute's International Marine Mammal Project. And Billy Hurley, with us by phone from Roswell, Georgia, is past president of the Alliance of Marine Mammal Parks and Aquariums and is also a former whale and dolphin trainer. And let me read some of your emails. Craig writes, I'm torn on this subject. I suspect most zoo animals also have much larger territories in their enclosures, but I support zoos. As for intelligence, where do we draw the line? Apes, gorillas, parrots? Look, we're animal lovers too. My wife volunteered at the Peninsula Humane Society for 6 years, and we own rescued greyhounds. We're sensitive to animal plights. And while I agree these animals shouldn't be entertainment for us, I believe the educational opportunity for children is powerful. Another listener writes, quotes Moby Dick, what is a fast fish? Well, it says, if we truly care about orcas, shouldn't we focus our efforts primarily on protecting their natural habitats, in this case the Pacific Ocean, the health of which is compromised by nearly every consumer purchase we make and every mile we drive? It seems that we focus our political attention on heart-tugging issues affecting a small population of marine mammals, while outside our window a raging environmental crisis caused by our own greedy appetites threatens the entire Pacific Ocean food chain. And here's a comment on our website from James. I remember when SeaWorld bought Marineland to get the only breeding male orca in captivity. Instead of learning from Marineland how orcas can be kept alive and healthy in captivity, SeaWorld just moved all the animals to SeaWorld, resulting in the death of many of the animals, including, ironically, the breeding male. Comment on that, Billy Hurley?
Sure. I think someone should go to SeaWorld San Diego and ask Corky about that. She was moved from California up in Palos Verdes, and she's the oldest female killer whale in human care right now. So I think that, I sure appreciate the first two emails you read. I think those folks are right on.
Let me get another caller on. Eric from Oakland. Hi, you're on.
Hi, can you hear me? I'm an onboard certified behavior analyst. I'd like to just talk a little bit about the operant conditioning that he spoke to, and how he feels that the animal like, quote unquote, the trainer. If there's just, they need to give a history of reinforcement and give reinforcement to the animal to teach them and train them to do things. But part of that is manipulating the deprivation and satiation. So you never want the animal to be satisfied. And you want to keep them always wanting to work. So you dole out X amount of food or X amount of things so that they never get too much or too satisfied and aren't motivated anymore. When they talk about the animal liking, quote unquote, the trainer, it's not. The trainer's been conditioned as a reinforcer, and the animal only knows to get food from that trainer. That's it. And that's what we're manipulating, the animal's desire to eat and survive.
Is that in line, Dave Phillips, with the way you see things?
Very much in line with the way we see things. And to suggest that the whales are happy, to suggest that they're content in the habitat that they're in concrete boxes, is just wrong. They're in acoustic animals. They live in a world of sound. Can you imagine the difficulties in trying to navigate and understand and operate when the sound is just bouncing back in a concrete echo chamber? This is not... this really cannot be said to be in the benefit of orca whales. This is in the benefit of corporate profit-making over the entertainment of animals. It's a simple fact.
I'm reading some tweets here. Lindsay says, this SeaWorld rep is delusional. Stop the circus tricks and inbreeding. Actually, can you talk, Billy Hurley, about breeding in captivity? Is that good or bad?
I think it's an important part of their social welfare. I think it's an important part of advancing our knowledge about having these animals so that when we look at, say, a neonate on the beach, when it washes in and is stranding, we know how to respond to that scenario. Clearly, we've got the situation where 75% of the bottlenose dolphins in human care in North America were born there, which is a huge, huge number. You know, the killer whale population is so much smaller than the number that we have here in our parks, in our accredited parks. So it's a mathematical equation to look at some of their successes. But the reality here is that breeding is an important notion of any type of zoological management of populations of animals.
And another listener writes, this is Anna, I don't think the show set up at SeaWorld with trainers riding on orcas' backs, etc., is the appropriate or responsible way to teach young people about these amazing animals. SeaWorld could do an amazing job educating kids and future scientists without demeaning these majestic creatures. Another listener, Andy, says, is there any difference between SeaWorld-like places versus zoos, especially when it comes to housing primates? Some thoughts from you on that, Dave Phillips?
Well, you know, you don't have zoos generally. You don't look into the bear exhibit and see them riding bicycles. You don't. So it's
you're doing the circus, doing, though, maybe.
Yeah, but even the circuses. Look at how the circuses have evolved. Cirque du Soleil is the rage. And the shows that had parading animals and riding bicycles and playing trumpets are faltering and going away. People don't want that. It's exploitative. They're not recognizing the rights of these animals. And in the case of orcas, we're beginning to understand and respect their rights to a peaceful existence in the wild, not in captivity for human benefit.
A lot of strong sentiments, as I expected, Billy Hurley, coming down from listeners. Just let me read you some of the comments on our Facebook page. Craig writes, it's interesting how similar the language SeaWorld's language is. I think he means you by that, Billy Hurley, though I don't know if you're – are you the employee of SeaWorld, actually?
No, actually I'm not.
Okay, but they've got you associated. How similar language is to that used by slave owners. Amelia says, keeping them for research purposes is such a cop-out. Plenty of research done on animals in the wild. Lisa asks, how much do we learn about these beautiful creatures by teaching them to jump through hoops and splash spectators? So there you have some of the – at least strong sentiments that I spoke of earlier.
Well, I think you got to tease out a couple of things here. One thing to look at here is probably the naivety of some of these authors as to the type of research that we are able to perform with these animals in our care and how that's applied in ecological situations. The other thing that we keep touching on here is this notion for these handful of comments that entertainment is a bad thing and that people don't like it. I find that mathematically surprising when you look at the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of guests that attend the SeaWorld parks annually. So, I'm standing here looking out a window, seeing a million people walking through a turnstile, saying apparently they do find this entertaining. I think they find it inspiring, and many people who leave those parks go home and want to do more for whales and dolphins, and that's an important role in conservation.
There's another caller, Eric Mills, who I believe is a fairly well-known animal rights activist. Am I right?
I don't know about well-known, but active anyway. Thank you for doing this program. It's obviously controversial, but very important. Here's a concrete way that people can help. Mr. Bloom's Assembly Bill 2140 will soon be assigned to the Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee. 15 members, chaired by Anthony Rendon, R-E-N-D-O-N. Folks could write all their state legislators and care of the state capitol, Sacramento 95814.
Well, excuse me, Eric, I think this is supposed to be likely to move forward next month, isn't it?
Yeah, they think that the hearings are going to be late March or early April, so those letters are important now. I must say, Blackfish, I thought, is an important film. Everybody should see it. But I've been working on this issue for 30 years. Orcas, no cetaceans belong in captivity. You might as well go see 12 Years a Slave and think animals instead of slaves. It's the same damn thing. And I'm hoping that business interest and loss of jobs will not trump animal welfare, ethics, morality, and compassion. But that's the way of the world these days.
All right, we thank you for the call, and we'll go to Fennel, our next caller. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for talking about this. I'd like both of the speakers to comment about the recent issue in Emeryville. I was absolutely disgusted with the finding of 1 ton of shark fins by a restaurant owner here. And, yeah, I'm equally horrified by the abuse that happens at SeaWorld of the animals that are held in captivity. So I'd like a comment on the first issue that affected the Bay Area here.
Well, the shark fin issue is something we've taken up before here on Forum. In fact, you can hear some of those debates in our archives. But you see analogy, Dave Phillips? Or, for that matter, analogies to slavery, which in some people's minds probably sounds ludicrous, but...
Well, I think the shark finning is a big problem, and I think that there needs to be more consumer pressure, laws, et cetera, and they're moving in that direction. So I think I would support that wholeheartedly. I think on the orca side, we need to get beyond thinking of these facilities as really being beneficial to orcas. The orcas aren't choosing to be there. They're being exploited. They're not providing any research that researchers don't recognize can be better done in the wild. They're there for a single purpose, and that purpose is to generate profits. Now, yes, people do go to these places, and they are seeing the product being offered and proposed to them as part of this mythology of it being good for them.
We've got seconds left. I want to hear a final word from you, Billy Hurley.
Sure. Well, let me quickly touch on the shark finning. I think we recognize the catastrophic effect that's having on the fisheries and it's having on the ocean health, and it's a horrible thing. And clearly there should be a lot more done about that.
Well, it's out of time. All right.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.